2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark, this will be a familiar passage to RCC right here. And so it was that when they went, when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. How many remember that message? 6 paces? Yeah. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his own house. See, what happened was when they got God in his rightful place, they had a celebration and they shouted and danced and praised the Lord. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself." Men, I don't know if you can kind of read through between the lines, but she wasn't happy at what happened. And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Best not make fun of people that praise the Lord. That's all I want to say about that. I want to preach tonight on this subject. I've got a reason to shout. I've got a reason to shout. Of course, we know David has taken his rightful spot on the throne. Last message I preached about David, he was running. I waited patiently in the Lord. We thought that he was in between the time of running from Saul and taking the throne. So now he's on the throne. He's Israel's second king, but he's God's first selected king, right? So he's in a rightful position. And the first item of business, we got to go get God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the leaders of a nation had God as their first item of business? David said, "We ain't going to have nothing going right unless God gets back to where he needs to be." And my, we need to take this and take it to every politician, every church leader, all across the country and around the world. If you get God back and he's your first priority, things will work out a lot smoother. So that's exactly what happened. He got God on his agenda. It had been 50 years without the ark of God. And so we find in verses 3 through 8 what they did to get the ark back. They went and found the ark where it was at. And I'll just quickly run through what happens here in verses 3 through 8 and up to our text. We find that when they found when they found the ark of God, they put the ark of God on the Bible says, a new cart. And so it was pulled by oxen, we find out. And as they were pulling this ark on a cart, a new cart, the Bible says that the ark of God began to fall off because the oxen shook. And because that happened, then a man by the name of Uzzah, he stuck his hand out. And he was doing this not out of disdain. He was doing this out of natural reaction. But he went out and touched the ark of God to make sure that it wouldn't fall or to try to stop it from falling. And immediately God struck him dead. And then we know that David got very angry, as we'll read here in a little bit. We'll share that with you here in just a moment. And he left the ark of God and went away for 3 months, pouting. And he left it in the house of Obed-Edom. And he finds out that God's blessing the house of Obed-Edom because the ark of God is there. And he says, you know what? Let's try this again. But now let's do it God's way. And so that's where we're at. And the when David finally brought the ark of God back, we read it to you in your hearing. They brought the ark of God back to where it needed to be. And when he got it back to where he needed to be, the presence of God came. And he began to rejoice. He began to shout. He began to dance. He began to leap. And everyone else joined in. And the only one that was upset that day was his wife. She became upset. And I want you to notice some things about this passage of scripture. And hopefully I can get out the way the Lord has shown me. And I hope that you can understand and we can draw something from this. First of all, I want you to notice that when we are starting to handle holy things, there needs to be proper restraint. This, and I've tried to wrap my head around, this man Uzzah was doing something good, yet God still struck him dead for touching the ark of God. And this shows us this is God's response to someone trying to help him out. Do you not understand? Now, this is interesting. Uzzah's name in the Hebrew means strength. And it don't matter how much strength you have, God don't need your help. God could have easily prevented that ark from falling off that cart himself. But Uzzah, you know, out of a noble deed, reached out and tried to prevent it from falling. And God struck him dead. But there's more to the story. You have to understand. There should have been proper restraint. This ark of God was not supposed to be put on a cart in the first place. The way they were doing this was the way the Philistines did it. And so they used a Philistine method to transport the presence of God. And my friend, you better watch on how you handle holy things. You cannot handle holy things the way the world handles holy things. And it's time for us, even as men and women of God and as a church of God, we have to understand the new things that we allow to come into the house of God. Some things are fine and some things are ordained of God, but we better watch out. If we try to use the world's methods to try to help the presence of God come into a place or to usher in the presence of God, if we use the methods of the world, my friend, someone's going to die. And it may be the church as a whole. And you say, Brian, that could never happen. I'm telling you what, we can go 5 years in the past, 10 years in the past. I've seen churches that once stood for the right. They knew how to handle the presence of God and knew how to handle holy things. And they let the things of the world slowly creep in. And now the church doors are closed. They are dead. People are dead and dying spiritually. Why? Because they use the world to transport the presence of God. And this presence of God wasn't supposed to be placed on a cart. They were supposed to use proper restraint. And listen, when God calls you to do what he wants you to do, he will tell you exactly the way to do it. Listen, this ark would have never fallen if it was carried the right way. And if it was carried the right way, Uzzah would have never died. It was a message to David. You're in a new administration. You're now the king of Israel. Don't do things the way of the world. It was a clear message to him. If you continue to follow the ways of the world and you continue using Philistine methods for my people, some more people are going to die. And it was a warning to David. And so he was showing him how to handle holy things the ways of God. So we see the proper restraint, but notice, secondly, the persistent reverence. The persistent reverence. I want you to notice what happened. Whenever God struck Uzzah dead in verse 7, and I referenced it just a little bit ago in verse 8, look what happened. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. David got upset with God because God did something that he didn't like. No, oh, you're looking at me like, oh, I would never do that. Really? You've never in your life not understood what God was doing. Maybe you haven't questioned. Maybe you've been upset with God. Maybe you've asked God, Lord, why in the world would you let that happen? We have all, at one time in our life, you've been saved for any length of time. And new child of God, new Christian, there will come a time in your life when God will do certain things you may not understand, and you'll question and may even get upset as to why God did what he did. So David said, you know what? I'm just going to leave it here, and I'm going to go ahead and pout. And that's what he did. For 3 months, he went back home. And then he found out, oh, wait a minute, God still blesses. And he found out that God was still blessing at the house of Obed-Edom. Why? Because God honors faithfulness. He does not honor your happiness. When God does things, he don't care if you're happy or not. He wants you to be faithful. That's why he chose to bless the house of Obed-Edom. This was much of a downward thing to them as it was to anybody. This hurt them just as much, but they still honored God and was faithful to the presence of God, and God chose to bless his house. My friend, as a child of God, you have to understand, as Landon was saying tonight, whether it be good or whether it be bad, he's still God, he's still good, and he deserves our faithfulness. Never have understood. When things get hard, the first thing a lot of people want to do is run away from the house of God and run away from the presence of God. I hate to keep bringing you up, but she's a perfect example. There ain't too many people, and not, believe me, I do not, if you can't come back for a while, you have a time of mourning, I understand that. I'm not downing anybody. But the strength that God gave Wanda on Wednesday night, after her husband had passed Monday, he was in church last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, worshiping, praising God, went to bed, woke up in heaven on Monday morning, and she was back in church Wednesday night. Guess what she was doing? Lifting her hands and praising God. You think she wasn't hurt? Of course she was hurt. You think her heart wasn't broken? Of course her heart was broken. But God honored her faithfulness. And God will honor your faithfulness. Stay faithful, even though things don't go as the way you thought they were supposed to go. So David comes back. He says, you know what? This time, let's do it the way God instructed. Because I don't know if you knew this, but God had already instructed the way they were supposed to carry the ark. Very explicit detail, to be honest. So they had people to bear the ark on two sticks. So they put the sticks in, and they started to carry it. Now, our pastor preached that powerful message years ago in the old church, six paces, stop and praise the Lord. They did this walking all the way back to Jerusalem. I don't know if, Pastor, if you remember how long that was. I didn't look it up, but it wasn't more than, you know, it was definitely more than a football field. It was quite a distance that they walked and took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Offered sacrifice, praise the Lord. They did that all the way back to Jerusalem. I think they did that for maybe one specific reason is they took, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whew, we're not dead yet. Let's keep going. 1, 2, 3. I think they thought, you know what? We can take it easy, but we're doing it the right way. We're doing it the way God had intended. And the closer we get home, the more we need to shout. And when they finally got God back in his rightful place, the Bible says that David began to shout, he began to dance, and he began to leap. Why? Because he understood. Look at the grace of God in this beautiful picture. David, for those 3 months sabbatical that he had taken away from the presence of God, God could have struck him dead just like he struck Uzzah. But thank God, God gave David another chance to experience the presence of God. That's why he could shout. It's because he understood, I'm only here for one reason, and that's because of grace. Amen. They got the ark of God back. And now I want you to notice that the first person to shout was the king. And after the king began to shout, then the others started to shout. And I'm telling you what, that's why it's important to have good leadership and good people that will be over you. It's good to have a pastor that even though he's sick and not feeling well, he's still here worshiping, praising God. He don't have to be the one in the pulpit to worship and praise God. He don't have to be the one up singing to praise God. Listen, folks, tonight, when are we going to realize? And listen, if he would come in here all down in the dumps, it's just natural. We would probably be down in the dumps too. But listen, that's why sometimes as leaders, we got to rise above the way we feel, because shouting and leaping and praising and dancing is infectious. Hallelujah. I may not have had the best week, but it don't matter. I'm in the presence of God, so I'm going to show him and give him the honor he deserves. See what happens? It's contagious. It's contagious. That's why I love sitting up here, because I get to see you. And when you start shouting, it stirs up something in me. Amen. Because a lot of times we know what you're dealing with at home. A lot of times we know what you're dealing with at work. Sometimes we know some things that nobody else knows. And we still see you raising your hand, worshiping God. Hey, that's infectious. That's contagious. Hey, listen, when one starts, it don't take long for the others to start as well. Hallelujah. Well, that was my introduction. I got a short message. Here's why he could dance. Number one, I kind of alluded to this already, so it'll be a quick point. He was able to dance because of correction. He was able to shout because of correction. Even though he got upset with God, he realized, you know what? I might need him down the road. And he went and got him. He went and sought out the presence of God. Listen, just because you get upset with him, and just because he corrects you, and just because he does things you may not understand, you might as well hang on to him, because you're going to need him. You're going to need him again. You're going to need his presence. In fact, I'm going to need him before this day's up. I'm going to need him tomorrow. I'm going to need him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to need him every day, every second, every minute. I can't survive without 1 second without God. In times of correction, it should cause us to shout, because it shows us that he loves us. And shows us that we need his presence more than anything. Not only for correction, but he could shout because of confirmation. Confirmation, yeah. He was blessing the house of Obed-Edom. And David found out, I don't have to get jealous of Obed. I can have my own blessing. He found out, if I can shout when someone else gets blessed, he can bless me too. And listen, I shout just as much for your blessings as I shout for what God's done for me, because I understand he's an equal opportunity blesser. And he loves to bless you. 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 And he loves to bless me. And I'm thankful tonight, if I can shout for you, I can shout for me. Just confirms that he's a good God. Confirmation, correction, but he also could shout because of conservation. You said, Brian, where'd you see this? I see this in the text that I read to you. We didn't know his wife was such a witch until David started shouting. And you'll find out, young man, young lady, you'll find out, sir, ma'am, you'll find out who really loves you when you start shouting. Yeah, man. And listen, God saved him from a future of a wicked seed. He saved him from a future of a lineage bound for hell. He saved him from that because David was willing to shout. Because when he shouted, it separated good from evil. The only one that had disdain in this entire story was his wife. But notice something. Notice something. Why was she like the way she was? Why was she like the way she... Don't answer that. But why was she like... I'll tell you why. Go back and read it. It never refers to her as David's wife. It always says Saul's daughter. So even though Saul was gone, Saul was still there. And David didn't even realize he had an enemy in his own bed until he started shouting. And when you start selling your life out to God, and when you start sanctifying your life to God, believe me, you won't have to worry about if you're going to have new friends or old friends. Your old friends, if they don't love the Lord, they'll eventually leave. Or they eventually have to leave. But I promise you, for everyone the evil takes away, God will replace them with so much more. Amen. That's good preaching. That was what was wrong with her. She wasn't David's wife. She was Saul's daughter. And the glory of God will always reveal the spirit of Saul in somebody. That's why I don't have to look over this congregation too long when the spirit of God starts falling to see where the spirit of Saul is. I realize you may not have the same emotions as I do, or the same excitement or zeal or passion. That's fine. But if I can look at you and tell you hate what's going on, you can see it all over your face. My friend, the spirit of Saul is in your heart. The spirit of Michael is in your heart. Oh boy, this is good, isn't it? I'm not looking particular at anybody because I can feel it. I can feel it. See, you can feel it. And I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus. Jesus' name. It has no place in Rubyville. It has no place in your heart. Get out of here, spirit. Get out of here, spirit. The spirit of Saul has no place in the child of God. You may put on a good show and you may think you're related to the king, but listen, the spirit of God and the glory of God will always reveal the spirit of Saul. Get out of here, spirit of Saul. And I'll tell you, person, if you don't know if you have the spirit of Saul or not, but if every time someone shouts, it goes through you like a nails on a chalkboard, my friend, your heart needs to get right with God. Amen. If seeing Logan and McKenna getting saved this morning, if that doesn't bless you, the spirit of Saul is in your heart. Amen. You have no idea what God's done in that family, but I do. I know the miracle that God's performed. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. And I know what God can do. What glory to God. Sorry, Logan, McKenna, didn't mean to embarrass you. Praise God. I don't even know where I'm at. That felt good. The glory of God will always reveal the spirit of Saul. Listen, be careful who you give yourself to. Be careful who your relationships are with. David was snatched away from a relationship that could have ruined him for the rest of his life. And the only way that could have happened is because he shouted and danced and praised God. The presence of God was with him. Well, confirmation, conservation, correction, but finally, David could dance, and you can shout on this, because he was chosen. And David said unto Michael, it was before the Lord. Whew. Oh, she didn't like it. Go back and read it. She didn't like it. You uncovered yourself in front of all those other women. That's what she said. All those other maid servants out there. You were dancing in front of them. She was jealous. She didn't even see everybody else shouting. He wasn't the only one. But she wasn't the only one. She was it. She wasn't shouting. She was the only one that wasn't. And that's why she was embarrassed. So he said, listen, Michael. What I did was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father. I said, your dad wasn't even the rightful king in the first place. God chose me before he chose your daddy. And before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. You know what he was saying? Well, Better watch. I don't want to offend nobody. But basically, he was saying, shut your mouth, woman. He said, I'm chosen. So it don't matter what you say to me, I'm going to play before the Lord. I'm going to shout before the Lord. You know why? He said, I've got a reason to shout. The presence of God is back where it needs to be. And I am in my rightful place where God has ordained me to be. I'm chosen. And I'm thankful tonight that he chose me. And he's chosen you. You are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people who should show forth the praises unto him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a chosen people.